Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love toward us sinners, that you sent your Son to be our Savior, and have sent your Holy Spirit into our hearts to make us your own children by faith in Christ. We pray tonight that you would stir up this faith inside of all of us, that we may show forth acts of kindness and mercy, compassion, charity, and love toward those that you bring into our lives. We ask it all in our Lord's saving name. Amen. Kill him. They had him bound up tightly. They grabbed him and threw him down into the cistern where the cows would drink water. And now they had to talk about what to do with him. If you were there the night that Joseph's brothers, or the afternoon that Joseph's brothers were trying to figure out what to do with this little brother that they thought was being so arrogant in their presence, I bet there were a lot of harsh words being spoken. Some of them actually just wanted to kill him. That's how mad they were at him. But if you had been in that group or circle of brothers that day and had just happened to go around right at that moment and interview each one of them and ask them, "Do you love God? Do you love God?" I'm sure the majority of them would have said, "Well, yeah, of course I do. That's not the issue right now. Of course I do." When someone claims that their heart belongs to God and that they love God, and yet at the same time they're harboring animosity and hatred towards someone, even a flesh and blood brother like Joseph in that case, this is an inconsistency that needs addressing. And that's exactly what St. John is being called upon by the Holy Spirit to address for us tonight. The potential inconsistency in us and in our lives of claiming we love God on the one hand, claiming that we belong to him and that we appreciate what Christ has done for us, and yet at the same time, at times maybe being tempted to harbor hatred in our hearts. And this issue constantly needs addressing for us. It needs the light of repentance brought in to shine on us. John writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar." It's pretty straightforward language. In other words, if that's the case, he's saying, then you really don't love God. Then you really have no right to claim to belong to God if you harbor this kind of hatred against somebody in your life. So John is trying to impress upon us how much God in heaven is paying attention, not just to what we say and do outwardly, but to what's going on in the heart, because as our Lord Jesus tells us, that's where hatred and murder, the seeds of that, lies inside of us. And how we treat people, even our enemies, even people that deserve, maybe the world would think, to be treated badly. Even people that have been mean to us, have done bad things to us. God still is watching our hearts as to whether or not we build up hatred toward those individuals. So God would have us each kind of reflect on our own personal situation before him. Do you think that God has any obligation to love you? Does God really have any just obligation to love you? Do you deserve God's love? If we're really honest with ourselves, we'd say no. If we think about all the times we break his commandments, we just take it so flippantly we don't even think about it sometimes. How frequently it happens, how over and over the same sins plague us in our lives, the same things we say and do, and we just fly through life as if it's no big deal at all. If God were to hold anything against us, just think what our real condition would be like before him. So how grateful we should be that God has not treated you and me the way we deserve, because we clearly have acted and even continue to act like we are enemies of him. But he hasn't chosen to treat us that way. Because of what Christ has done and the blood of Christ shed on the cross, God now has turned a kind and generous and blessed heart toward us. Our Lord Jesus, even the night that they laid him down on the ground, or that morning, I should say, on Good Friday, as they were driving stakes through his wrist, he starts saying a prayer of love to his Father for the very soldiers that are unjustly putting him to death. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it's that same spirit of love and that same perfect heart of our Lord Jesus that has come to us, that we've come to know, that we've come to treasure and appreciate in our personal lives. A lot of times when armies will go off into a new territory or possibly an island, I know during World War II, there were times when our soldiers would go with a flag and they would claim a piece of land, they would drive a flag down into the ground or the rock to show that this land has now been claimed. That's what God the Holy Spirit does through the gospel. When we hear about what our Lord Jesus did for us, forgiving us all of our sins freely by his grace, so that we are now holy before God and have the promise that we're going to have a tremendous future in heaven, when God claims our hearts through that with the gospel, he sticks the flag of heavenly love into your heart, and he claims your heart as his child. He claims that you now belong to him. Your heart is his territory, is his country, is where he belongs to you, and you belong to him. And the fact that God now has come and done that to us, even when we were enemies, claiming us to be his children, should be and will be the very motivating thing that causes us to look at the people in our life, maybe where we have temptations to hate people, and to have our hearts melted with his tremendous love and mercy that we don't deserve toward us. And that's why John says, on behalf of every Christian, we love God because he first loved us. His love to us is the generating, motivating, activating love that stirs that very thing inside of us toward other people. You can see it in Zacchaeus. Automatic response when he comes to learn of Christ as his Savior. Doesn't have to be told by Jesus anything. He's already looking for a way to show love to the people that he's hurt. Many years ago in 1876, there was a battle, one of the greatest Indian battles known as the Battle of Little Bighorn. And there were three tribes of Indians, the Lakota, the Cheyenne, and the Arapaho tribes that went to war against the U.S. cavalry. And this became the site of what we often call Custer's Last Stand. And 215 U.S. cavalry soldiers were surrounded by roughly 3,000 Native American warriors and were just slaughtered and executed. And that tremendous massacre of those soldiers sparked decades of war and animosity out in the western plains and into the mountains. Finally, 50 years later to the day of that battle, a Sioux Indian chief by the name of White Bull and a U.S. cavalry general by the name of Edward Godfrey traveled together to the site of that battle in southern Montana, and each one brought along an axe, and they dug a hole, and they buried the axes. That's where we get the expression, to bury the hatchet, to show that the animosity toward each other had now been put away and covered over by the ground. I'd like to get real personal with you right now, and I need to do this in my heart too. In your life right now, who is the person or who are the people against whom you have the greatest feelings of animosity and hatred that you are harboring against someone? I would encourage you tonight to dig a hole in the ground and to bury the axe. And you can do this through the powerful love of God, who has buried his crushing axe against you for the sake of his Son. And I would call upon you as a child of Christ, in whatever way you can, to somehow find a way in your life as a fruit of faith to express that forgiveness and love toward your enemy in whatever way you can, even if it's done undercover, to indicate to God how much you appreciate the marvelous grace he has shown to you in Christ Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. Amen.